The room is quiet before the numbers appear. A projector blinks on. A slide shows pay bands by level. No names. Just ranges and midpoints. People scan the chart. A manager shifts in her chair. A new hire grips a pen. The head of HR says the plan is transparency. The plan is fairness. The plan begins now. The room holds a pause that feels like a test. Equal pay is not a slogan here. It is the math of a paycheck and the time it buys. It is childcare and rent. It is debt that shrinks or grows. Some faces hold relief. Some hold doubt. The meeting ends. Conversations start in corners. What happens next decides more than a headline. It decides whether independence is real or delayed again. The question is simple. Do the starting numbers match the promise? The answer is never simple. But today it begins in plain view. Chapter 1, Starting Numbers. The all-hands session is set for the first week of the new quarter. The invite says pay transparency briefing. It lists the time and the room. The chairs fill early. People sit by teams. Product in one cluster. Operations in another. HR stands at the back near the wall. The presenter begins with terms. Equal pay means the same pay for the same role and level. Pay equity means fair pay across groups once role, level, tenure, and performance are matched. The median earnings gap is the difference in typical wages across the whole workforce. The adjusted pay gap is the gap after matching like for like. The words are simple. The meaning is heavy. Slides show how pay is set. There are bands by level with a minimum, a midpoint, and a maximum. Offers anchor near the midpoint unless a skill is scarce. Location can adjust the range. Experience can nudge placement within the band. Promotions move a person to a new band. A merit cycle moves pay inside a band. There is a pause to state what is proven and what is alleged. It is proven that starting pay shapes lifetime earnings. It is proven that a small gap can grow over time through compounding raises. It is alleged by some that negotiation alone explains most gaps. It is alleged by others that evaluation bias anchors the first offer below peers. The presenter says the report will show patterns, but will not conclude on intent. A timeline follows. Past policies were less clear. Offers were set by manager discretion. Later, a policy added band midpoints as guidance. Later still, the company agreed to post ranges on job listings. The new step is a yearly review with a remediation plan. A chart appears. It shows offer placement within bands for the past 2 years. The bins are 5-point steps. The pattern is uneven. In several functions, men cluster near the midpoint at higher. Women cluster below the midpoint. The gap within the same band is small on day one. It widens by the end of year one when the merit cycle applies a percentage increase to base pay. Three people speak in the open forum. A sales analyst asks if negotiation explains the pattern. The HR lead says negotiation matters, but cannot explain cases where identical profiles received different anchors when negotiation language was the same. A support supervisor asks about promotion speed. The finance partner says promotion speed is covered in a later section. A new engineer asks if the company will back pay. The general counsel says any remediation will follow a policy that is consistent and documented. The meeting adjourns. People leave in clusters. Emails start to circulate. A shared inbox receives questions for the audit team. The team creates case files with initials and dates. Each file ties to a hiring event, a level, and a band. A second scene unfolds in a small conference room. Two analysts sit with an HR partner. They examine pay at hire for a single level across 3 years. They control for location, years of experience, and accreditation. They code whether the candidate negotiated. They code the recruiter, the hiring manager, and the final approver. They mask names in the working file to reduce bias in review. They find a simple truth. At this level, women and men were offered within the same band. Yet the initial anchor is lower for women by a modest margin on average. The margin is smaller in the last year. It is larger in the first year. The spread is not uniform across teams. Some teams show no gap. Others show a clear pattern. The analysts flag the outliers and escalate for manager interviews. A third scene occurs at a regional site. A pay transparency roundtable brings 10 employees together. Ground rules are set. No personal salary disclosures. Speak to process and outcomes. A technician says she learned only last month that bands exist. A coordinator says he asked about the midpoint and was told it was confidential in a prior year. A product manager says posting ranges on job ads changed the tone of offers. Candidates came in more prepared. Recruiters had less room to improvise. The facilitator notes the comments and asks for proof points. The group points to job postings, offer letters, and internal memos archived by date. The reporting team maps how small gaps expand. It is a simple compounding question. If two peers start apart by a few percent and both receive the same percentage raise each cycle, the distance grows in dollars. If the higher paid peer gets larger absolute bonuses due to base pay, the total gap grows. If stock grants scale off base or level, the gap can widen again. The math is simple. The effect is slow and quiet. The outcome is significant over time. The audit includes first response voices beyond one company. A union steward in a municipal office describes a different model. Pay steps are fixed by contract. Raises are uniform by step and tenure. Starting pay follows a grid. The steward says this reduces discretion and lowers risk. It also reduces speed for high performers. An advocate for pay transparency in a private firm describes a change that halted offers below midpoint for fully qualified hires. The change led to fewer exceptions. It also led to tighter budgets for signing bonuses. These accounts are attributed by role and sector. Names are withheld by request. An economist interviewed for Context explains that persistent median gaps reflect occupational segregation, part-time patterns, and career interruptions. She notes that adjusted gaps shrink when like is compared to like. She warns that adjusted figures can hide the choice architecture that places people in different roles to begin with. The distinction is important. The report treats both as relevant. The median gap is the full story of where people end up. The adjusted gap is the story inside a single lane. The chapter defines the link between financial independence and starting numbers. Independence is not a vague ideal. It is the ability to refuse a bad situation. It is the confidence to leave a harmful workplace. It is the option to save and invest. It is access to training without fear of missed rent. The starting paycheck funds or denies these choices. A gap at the beginning is a constraint that repeats. The team examines how offers are made. Recruiters use a rubric with must-have and nice-to-have skills. Hiring managers assign a level before compensation weighs in. Compensation then selects a band and an anchor inside the band. If a candidate discloses a current salary, the policy now requires ignoring the exact number. Instead, the anchor must tie to the posted range and the evaluation of skills. This rule is stated in writing. The audit tests if the rule was followed. They select a random sample of offers after the rule change. They compare the anchor to the posted range and the leveling notes. In most cases, the anchor aligns. In a set of cases, the anchor mirrors prior salary notes that should not have been used. The team documents the exceptions and schedules retraining for those involved. The corrective action is recorded in a system with date and owner. The chapter turns to negotiation. Conventional advice says ask for more. Evidence in the files shows that negotiation affects the final number. It also shows that not all candidates are given equal signals that negotiation is welcome. Some are told the band is firm. Others are told there is room. The team recommends standardized language for all offers. The language explains where flex exists and where it does not. It lists a small menu of negotiable items. It states that no one should accept below the posted midpoint when fully qualified. Managers who need exceptions must document a skill gap that ties to training within the first months. A legal note appears. The company declines to discuss individual cases. It endorses standard language that reduces risk. HR commits to adding a pre-offer checkpoint. A second reviewer will read leveling notes for clarity and check bias cues. This is not a veto. It is a guardrail that signals when a draft offer strays from policy. The chapter includes a brief personal account from a data coordinator named only by first initial. She describes receiving an offer at the bottom of the band. She asked if the midpoint was possible. She was told the budget was tight. She accepted and later learned two peers with similar profiles started near the midpoint. She brought the concern to HR with documentation. A review raised her base pay to the midpoint and granted a one-time adjustment for the gap period. The account is verified by a letter that confirms the adjustment without naming others. It is a single case. It shows the process and its limits. The team models the compounding effect. They build a simple table for two peers who start with a small difference. they apply the same percentage raise each year for 5 cycles. They add a bonus that scales with base. After 5 cycles, the higher paid peer has earned many thousands more. The lower paid peer has saved less and carries more interest on debt. The model is basic. The signal is clear. Starting numbers matter because time magnifies them. The chapter closes with a look at external levers. Pay transparency laws require ranges on listings in some places. Salary history bans restrict questions about prior pay. Both change the starting frame for offers. The report notes that compliance is uneven. It also notes that culture shapes how rules play out. Policies can exist on paper and fail in practice. The company featured here says it will audit quarterly and publish the share of offers at each band step by function. It will include a plan to remediate outliers. One last scene returns to the all-hands room. It is the next week. The HR lead posts a short update. Offers will include a sentence that names the band step in plain words. Examples are given so candidates can compare. A feedback link routes to a neutral team. The tone is direct. The language is clear. The exit line is simple. If the first dollar is fair, the rest of the dollars have a chance to follow. If the first dollar is not fair, every raise carries the error forward. The work begins where the offer begins. Chapter 2, The Middle Rungs. A mid-year promotion board meets on a quiet afternoon. Folders are stacked by level. The chair states the goal. Raise the bar where it should be. Remove drift where it crept in. The board will score impact, scope, and readiness. The board will also examine visibility and access to stretch work. One manager presents a candidate who led a critical project. The metrics are strong. The narrative shows ownership. A peer asks who staffed the project. The room learns that the candidate stepped in after the original lead went on leave. The original lead is now ready to return. The board asks how impact was credited across time. The process had no rule for shared credit across leave transitions. The room notes the gap and creates one. Mentorship and sponsorship are defined. Mentorship is advice and skill practice. Sponsorship is active advocacy in rooms where decisions are made. The board studies who has sponsors. Names surface. Patterns surface. The people with sponsors appear more often in nomination lists. The board recommends that every nomination list must show both mentor and sponsor fields. The fields are checked before a vote. Stretch assignments drive visibility. The process to assign them is often informal. A director admits he chose from the people who replied fastest. This favored those with fewer care duties. A new rule sets a window to express interest. It states a default rotation when interest exceeds slots. It states how to record and share the criteria to get picked next. A discussion on evaluation language follows. The audit team found phrases that create noise. Words like reliable and nice appear in some files. They are not tied to scope or results. Other files use precise terms. They list targets and outcomes. The board shifts to a template that asks for 3 concrete results and 2 growth areas tied to role expectations. The template bans personality labels. It asks for evidence instead. Flexwork policies enter the debate. A manager claims that FaceTime signals commitment. Another says output is what counts. The chair asks for data. The data team shows that people in hybrid roles perform at similar levels when goals are clear and tools are reliable. The board states a rule. Flex schedules are not a negative in promotion consideration. If a role truly requires fixed hours on site, the job description must state it at posting. The rule is written into the promotion guide. The midpoint shift arrives after a case review. A candidate's rating was reduced for declining a late-night travel request. The request came during a week with known care duties. The manager labeled the candidate as less flexible. The board reopens the review. It notes that the work had other coverage options. It notes that the push was avoidable. The rating is adjusted. The board writes a policy. Care conflicts that are disclosed and reasonable cannot be used to lower a rating when alternatives exist. The policy is clear and testable. Peer review enters the scene. Anonymous feedback is screened for relevance. Feedback that codes to personality without evidence is removed. Feedback tied to outcomes remains. The board invites short rebuttals where facts are in dispute. Rebuttals are logged and attached to files. The final packet shows the evidence that drove the decision. A union representative describes a different process in a public agency. Promotions follow a posting with an exam and seniority points. The system is slower. it is also less open to bias at the manager level. The trade-off is known. The board notes the model as one among many. Sponsorship becomes a focus area. The company creates a sponsorship map. It asks every director to list two people they will advocate for across the next cycle. The list is balanced across teams and locations. Meetings are set with clear goals. Sponsors must name the next stretch, the next training, and the next decision room where the person will be visible. This is not a guarantee of promotion. It is a plan to build readiness and visibility in fair ways. Training is refreshed. Evaluators attend a short course on bias cues and evidence standards. Examples are pulled from real files with details removed. The course repeats twice a year. Completion is required before sitting on a board. The legal team signs off. HR tracks attendance and enforces the rule. The chapter adds a case study with consent. A senior associate was passed over twice. The file showed strong outcomes. The notes emphasize team warmth and helpfulness. They underweight scope and complexity. After the new template, the case returned to the board. The board adjusted the evaluation and granted the promotion. The written decision explains the change. It cites evidence, not sentiment. The board runs a simulation to test for backfire effects. A new rubric might reduce discretion. It might also slow recognition of real excellence. To guard against this, the rubric includes an exceptional impact clause. A manager can nominate early with a short brief that shows clear outsized results. The brief must tie to business outcomes and must be co-signed by a peer manager in another function. The clause is used sparingly. It protects against a rigid system that freezes talent. The chapter tracks how changes move numbers across a year. Nomination rates equalize across groups. Promotion rates follow with a lag. Time and level shifts closer across teams. The company publishes a quarterly dashboard. It shows nominations, promotions, and average time and level by function. It notes where variance is high. It assigns owners to fix it. The dashboard avoids names. It shows structure and outcomes. The exit line names the test. A fair ladder does not rush some and stall others without cause. It shows who is ready and why. It protects care. It prizes impact. It makes room for excellence to shine fast and clean. Chapter 3, The Money Tools. A community finance clinic opens on a Saturday morning. The room has long tables and a whiteboard. Counselors greet visitors by first name. The agenda is posted. Credit scores and reports. Small business capital. Emergency funds. Retirement plans. A counselor explains a simple truth. Access to money tools is the second pillar of independence. Pay is the first. Tools are the second. Without tools, income leaks. Interest rises. Options shrink. The clinic begins with credit. People request their reports. They find old errors. They learn how to dispute in writing. They learn why utilization matters. They learn why on-time payments are the core habit. They learn how to set auto pay for the minimum and then add extra when cash permits. A counselor marks the key line. Missed payments carry long shadows. A plan to avoid them is worth more than a point of interest saved. Next is small business capital. A founder asks about startup cash. The counselor outlines three paths. Microloans with clear terms. Community development funds with support and training. Revenue-based advances for businesses with steady sales. Each path has trade-offs. The clinic stresses fit and clarity. Avoid products with hidden fees. Compare the annual cost in one number. Ask for the full amortization table. Emergency funds come next. The advice is old but durable. Aim for 1 month of expenses. Then aim for three. Start with a tiny auto transfer each payday. Keep the account separate from daily spending. Label it on the bank portal as emergency. Remove the card from the wallet. The goal is not perfection. The goal is a buffer that prevents high interest debt when life turns. Debt sequencing follows. High interest balances go first. Lower interest debts sit behind them. If an employer offers a match in a retirement plan, contribute to get the match before paying extra on low interest debt. The match is free money. It is a raise that compounds. A counselor writes the order on the board. Get the match. Pay high interest. Build the buffer. Then return to remaining debts with a steady plan. Retirement participation rates are discussed. Some people opted out to free cash. The clinic shows the cost of waiting. A simple chart compares starting now at a small percent to starting later at a larger percent. The early start wins, even at a lower rate. This is the same compounding that widen gaps in pay. Here it works for the saver. Trusted advice channels matter. People ask who to trust. The clinic recommends seeking fiduciary advice when possible. It warns against sales pitches that blur advice and product. It suggests community classes that teach basics with no sales attached. It suggests reading statements line by line. It suggests asking three questions. What do I pay? How does the advisor get paid? What happens if I leave? Managers and institutions have roles. Managers can make schedules that allow time for appointments with banks and schools. They can host on-site clinics during work hours. They can set default enrollment in retirement plans with an opt-out option. They can offer small emergency loans at fair rates to help employees avoid predatory debt. Institutions can publish simple guides in plain language. They can ensure that posted pay ranges match actual practice. They can fund training that opens paths to higher paid roles. The chapter ends with a simple plan for individuals. Know the band and the midpoint before you accept. Ask for the midpoint when fully qualified. Keep proof of duties and wins. Seek a sponsor and name the next stretch. Build 1 month of cushion. Get the match. Pay the highest interest first. Use advice you can verify. Write goals in clear words. Review once each quarter. Small steps compound. The final lines return to dignity and choice. Financial independence is not a luxury. It is the ground under a person's feet. It is the right to say yes and no. It begins with fair pay on day one. It grows with fair ladders. It endures with access to clear, honest tools. The path is not quick. It is steady. The cost of delay is real. The reward is control over a life. Chapter 2, The Middle Rungs. The promotion board meets on a quiet afternoon. There are folders on a long table. Each folder holds a name, a level, and a year of work. The chair opens the session with a short reminder. The board will judge scope, results, and readiness. The board will document every call with clean reasons. A screen shows the cycle timeline. Nominations open last month with a clear form. Managers had to list 3 outcomes and 2 growth areas. They had to attach evidence, screenshots, reports, deadlines met or missed. The board will not accept labels without proof. The board will not accept gut feel. A case appears. A project manager named only by initials led a launch that saved a quarter. The numbers look strong. Tickets closed. A defect rate that fell. A partner write-up that is careful and exact. A peer asks a simple question. When did the candidate step in? The team notes that the original lead went on leave for 3 months. The candidate picked up the work. The original lead returned and supported the finish. The board studies how credit is shared. The packets do not require a joint credit note. The chair writes a rule for next cycle. Shared work must show shared impact in plain lines. Mentorship and sponsorship are defined for the room. Mentorship is guidance. Feedback in one-to-one meetings. Practice and review. Sponsorship is advocacy when the person is not in the room. The sponsor gives the person a stage. The sponsor argues when risk is on the table. The board wants to see both. The new form adds 2 fields. Who mentors the candidate? Who sponsors the candidate? If either field is blank, the manager must explain how visibility is built in other ways. A director presents a nomination. The candidate is known for steady output. The narrative calls her reliable and nice to work with. The chair asks for 3 outcomes with numbers. The director opens a sheet and lists dates, owners, and results. The tone of the room shifts. The board speaks in plain numbers. The candidate solved a vendor break and reduced call volume by a third. She closed the backlog on a migration by setting a clean triage ritual. She trained 2 junior staff who are now ready for weekend rotations. The nomination moves forward with real proof. The board strikes the words reliable and nice from the written case. They do not help the decision. They hide the signal under polite noise. Stretch assignments are the path to impact at the next level. The board audits how those assignments were handed out. A manager admits he chose from the first people to raise a hand. That rewarded anyone who could respond fast to a midday message. People with care duties often replied later. The board writes a simple rule. Announce a stretch assignment with a window for interest. Keep the window open for a full day or a full shift. Record who raised a hand. If there are more volunteers than slots, rotate the chance as the year goes on. Publish the criteria for selection so the next person knows how to prepare. A report on visibility appears. the analysts mapped who presents in leadership reviews. The map shows that a small group of people presents most of the time. New voices are rare. The board asks for a rotation plan. Each team will identify a monthly review where a rising staff member presents the work. The manager stays in the room, but does not take the mic unless the presenter asks. This is a simple fix. It opens a door that had been closed by habit. The board reviews a case from the sales team. The candidate topped the chart for 2 quarters. Then numbers dipped during a period with a documented care crisis at home. The manager wrote that the candidate was less flexible than peers. The board brings in data. Coverage was available and used by others at the same time. The manager did not request help. The policy on flex schedules states that performance goals are what count. Presence is not a proxy for value. The board revises the rating. The board writes a new line into the guide. Reasonable care conflicts that are disclosed and planned around cannot reduce a rating when the work has viable coverage. A mid-level engineer is up next. The file shows strong code reviews and consistent delivery. The manager argues that the candidate has not led a cross-team effort. The engineer notes that 2 cross-team leads were assigned to others who were free to travel. She had a new child and had asked for home-based weeks. The board looks at actual requirements. The work did not need travel. It needed a standing hour across time zones. The assignment could have been offered with schedule clarity. The board marks a process miss. The team adds a line to the stretch assignment guide. State the exact needs. Travel. Late calls. Weekend work. If those needs are not hard needs, say so. That reduces guesswork. It makes room for people who can do the scope with a different shape to the week. The board brings in a short explainer on the motherhood penalty and the fatherhood premium. The chair reads a careful definition. Across many data sets, mothers often see slower pay growth after birth. Fathers often see faster growth. This is a pattern, not a rule. Causes include time out, reduced hours, and biased expectations about commitment. The board does not guess at motives. The board only controls the system in front of it. The system will not punish care when goals are met. The system will not reward face time that does not map to outcomes. The board repeats the rule in plain words. Now the midpoint turn. The company tested a policy last cycle that aimed to fight favoritism. The policy required blind packets for the first review pass. Names and pronouns were masked. Teams were removed. The early analysis showed a benefit. Reviewers focused on results instead of familiarity. But a problem surfaced. Without team names, reviewers missed context on resource constraints. A nominee from a small team took on broad scope with thin support. The impact was harder than a similar project on a mature team with tools and templates. The blind pass missed that. The fix arrives today. The packet will include a short context card. It will state team size, tool maturity, and any unusual constraints. The card avoids names. It gives a fair baseline to compare the same level of work. Blind packets remain. Context returns. Evaluation language gets a full segment. The audit team sampled hundreds of phrases. Men were more often called strategic. Women were more often called helpful or supportive. Neither label proves scope. The board replaces adjectives with a short template. It asks the manager to list the problem, the action, and the result. It asks for the size of the effect and how long it lasted. It asks what changed for the team because of the work. This turns air into substance. The template is taught in a live session with practice reviews. The chair calls for a break. People step out for water. A short training starts as they return. Screens show examples of bias cues. Words that code personality. Questions that drift into family status. Comments about availability that ignore posted expectations. Reviewers practice rewriting lines. They turn a soft praise into a measurable effect. They strip out family talk. They keep attention on work and scope. Attendance at this session is now required before any manager can sit on a board. HR tracks it. The legal team has reviewed the content and the sign-off. A union steward joins by phone to describe a different world. In his agency, promotions are posted to all with an exam and a point system. Seniority adds weight. Scores rank candidates. The system is slower. It is also predictable. Managers cannot move a favorite through a side door. The board treats this as one model among many. The private company keeps a more flexible path. The cost is ongoing vigilance. The benefit is faster recognition of clear excellence when the evidence is strong. Sponsorship is now the center of the room. The chief operating officer asks each director to list two people they will sponsor for the next cycle. Sponsorship is not a promise of promotion. It is a promise to build readiness. Each sponsor commits to put the person in one visible room each quarter. Each sponsor commits to argue for one stretch with a defined outcome and support. Each sponsor commits to a check-in where feedback is direct and linked to the next level rubric. The list is balanced by team and location. It is reviewed by the board to avoid concentration in one pocket of the company. A manager raises a fair concern. Rigid rules can freeze the latter. A tight rubric can slow brilliant outliers. The board builds a safety valve. It is called the exceptional impact clause. A manager can nominate early outside the usual window. The packet must show a clean chain from the work to a clear business result. It must include a co-sign from a peer manager in another function. The clause is used sparingly. The chair will report on its use each quarter. The goal is to protect excellence without opening a path for favoritism to creep back in. The board turns to measurement. You cannot improve what you do not count. A dashboard will ship after this cycle closes. It will show nominations by level, by team, and by location. It will show promotion rates and average time and level. It will not show names. It will not reveal personal data. It will show where rates diverge. It will assign owners to investigate and fix the causes. The dashboard will publish to all staff on a fixed date. Feedback will route to a neutral team for review. A case study with consent anchors the next hour. A senior associate had been passed over twice. Her file showed targets hit and projects finished. The notes called her a glue person who kept the team together. The board studied the notes line by line. A new template was applied. The results were clear once metrics showed up on the page. 2 launches on time. A customer score that rose after her playbook shipped. A junior cohort trained with a visible drop in error rate. The board approved the promotion. The written decision cites evidence. The board sent both letters. 1 to the new senior hire with congratulations. 1 to the manager with guidance on how to write to the template from now on. The cycle turns to triage. Not every nomination can move this round. The board prioritizes cases where scope already matches the next level. The board defers cases where one growth area is still large. Each deferral includes a plan. The plan names one stretch that will meet the gap. It names the support. It names the date to review again. This is not a soft no that lingers for a year. It is a map with a checkpoint. Flex work returns to the table. A lead claims that in-person presence builds trust faster. Another counters that trust is built by meeting commitments. The data team shows a year of goal delivery by location type. The spread is small when goals are clear and tools work. The board writes a clause to settle the tension. If a role truly requires fixed hours on site, the job post must state it before hire. If a role is open to hybrid or remote, the evaluation will not score presence as a proxy for value. The clause is simple and enforceable. It pushes the truth of the job back to the start of the funnel. The next packet triggers a process story. An analyst took on on-call duties for 6 months to cover a teammate in school. Her manager did not document the duty change as a stretch. The board notes that hidden stretches do not count. The fix is easy. There is a field in the system to log a stretch with start and end dates. The company will train managers to use it for any load that builds readiness. The analyst receives a retro credit. The board notes it in the packet, so the next cycle will see the full picture. Interview loops can bias who gets the next level role. The board reviews who sits on panels. A small group appears too often. The board expands the pool. New interviewers take a short course. It covers structured questions and scoring. It covers how to avoid code words that gatekeep. It covers how to write feedback in short, testable lines. This raises the quality of the feeder process that fills levels above. The chair brings a short refresher on the standard. A promotion is not a thank you. It is not a retention bonus. It is a call that scope and impact already fit the next level. The board reads the line out loud for the record. Managers nod. Some look down at their notes. The standard is simple. The practice takes discipline. A final round of cases fills the last hour. One packet shows a partial year in role at a high level of impact. The exceptional impact clause is invoked. The manager and a peer present a tight brief. The board asks direct questions. What changed for customers? What changed for cost? who can pick up the current scope if this person is promoted. The answers are crisp. The vote passes. The board notes that the clause worked as intended. It pulled a clear outlier forward without opening a back door for favorites. Now the board writes the public notes. These will go to all staff with the cycle summary. The notes are short. They name the changes to forms and training. They state the rule on care conflicts and ratings. They describe the stretch window and the rotation. They explain the dashboard and how to read it. They invite feedback to a neutral address. The tone is firm and plain. The language speaks to outcomes. Managers leave with homework. They must brief their teams on the new rules. They must list sponsored names with concrete next steps. They must clean their evaluation language before the next cycle. HR will run clinics on packet writing. Legal will advise on consistent practice. Operations will maintain the dashboard and the audit trail. One line of recap closes the loop with Chapter 1. Starting numbers set the path. Ladders either correct the course or make the drift worse. The chair ends the meeting with a final test. The system must raise the people who create value and carry weight. It must do that without punishing care. It must do that without rewarding presence over outcomes. It must do that in ways that can be shown in daylight. The board files the votes. The new guide ships next week. The last line of the day is simple and sharp. A fair ladder shows who is ready and why, and it moves them on time. Chapter 3, The Money Tools. A community finance clinic opens on a Saturday at 9 in the morning. Folding chairs face a whiteboard. A child colors at the back table while an aunt scans a pamphlet on credit reports. Counselors move through the room with clipboards and quiet voices. The sign on the door says walk-in welcome. The promise is simple. The tools of money will be explained in plain words. The day starts with credit. A counselor named Carla holds up a sample report. She points to the trade lines and the dates. She explains that on-time payment history drives the score more than any other factor. Utilization follows close behind. People nod. Phones come out. Logins fail and then work. The room fills with the small sounds of progress. A zip folder opens. A password arrives in an email. A printer across the hall starts to hum. Carla does not rush. She says what is proven and what is myth. It is proven that paying on time is the single most powerful habit. It is proven that balances kept low relative to limits help. It is a myth that checking your own report hurts your score. It is a myth that paying a collector without written terms always helps. She points to the dispute section and the addresses for each bureau. She explains why disputes must be in writing. She explains why a copy of the report and a date on the letter matter. A man raises his hand. He asks about medical bills that were sent to collections by mistake. Carla explains the current rules for how medical debts appear. She says the clinic will help draft letters to the provider and the bureau. She keeps the tone steady. She keeps the advice grounded in steps. Pull the report. Circle the item. Write the letter. Keep a copy. Mail with tracking. Check in 30 days. Repeat if needed. The next station teaches how to stop a late payment before it starts. A counselor walks through a two-tier system. Set auto pay for the minimum on every account. Then add a manual transfer for extra when cash permits. The two-tier plan lowers the chance of a miss. It also allows control. The counselor shows how to set alerts a week before the due date. She explains why one missed payment can cast a long shadow. She does not preach. She shows the timeline on the whiteboard. One miss. 30 days. 60 days. 90 days. She draws the slow climb back up. Across the room, a table has a sign that says interest rate drag. A second counselor sets two numbers on the board. One card at 22%. One loan at 6%. She shows the difference in dollars after 12 months with the same payments. The room is quiet for a moment. Interest makes money expensive when it is bought in a hurry. The counselor says the fix is not magic. Call the lender. Ask for a hardship plan. Ask for a lower rate in exchange for a set payment schedule. Ask for fees to be waived if the account has been current for a year. She does not promise success. She shows how the calls often go. She gives a script to try. In the corner, a small business capital clinic starts. A founder named Joy sits with a counselor. She sells baked goods at weekend markets and wants a small oven. She has no collateral. The counselor lays out three paths with clear trade-offs. Microloans from community funds with fixed terms and coaching. Community development loans that include a class and a mentor. revenue-based advances that take a share of sales until a cap is met. The counselor explains fees and total cost. She writes one number on a sticky note for each option. The annual cost must be known in one line. She warns Joy to avoid products with teaser rates that step up. She warns her to ask for the full payment table for the life of the loan. Next comes a quiet section on emergency funds. The counselor at this table asks each person to write 1 month of real expenses. Not a guess. A number with rent, food, transport, and the smallest safety. The room writes. Some look up with a new sense of weight. He says to aim first for 1 week, then 1 month, then three. He shows how to start with a tiny automatic transfer. $5 can be enough to begin. He tells the group to label the account as emergency in the bank portal. He says remove the card tied to that account from the wallet. He says the goal is friction. You should have to think twice before touching it. An older woman asks where to keep the money. The counselor says a simple savings account works. He says rate hunting can wait. He says the point is separation and habit. He repeats the order. Set the transfer on payday. Keep it small enough to survive a bad week. Review the amount each quarter. Raise it when a bill drops or a raise arrives. Debt sequencing starts after a break. A counselor walks through the steps in a calm voice. If there is an employer match in a retirement plan, get the match first. The match is a raise that compounds. Then attack the highest interest debt with extra payments. Keep paying the minimums on the rest. Once the top debt is gone, move the extra to the next highest. This is the avalanche method. She says the snowball method can also work when small wins are needed to stay motivated. She is neutral on style. She is firm on math. High interest hurts most. It should fall first when you can choose. A young couple asks if it is smart to invest while carrying credit card debt. The counselor draws two lines. One shows average market returns over time. One shows a 20% card rate that compounds every month. The second line eats the first. The couple stares. The counselor stays kind. He says that getting the match is still worth it. He says that beyond the match, the card must be tamed before growth can carry them forward. He gives them a plan with 3 steps over 12 weeks. They do not look relieved. They look focused. The clinic has an advice table with a sign that reads trust test. A volunteer explains the difference between an advisor who must act in your best interest and one who sells products. He says the word fiduciary and spells it slowly. He gives the 3 questions to ask any advisor. What do I pay? How do you get paid? What happens if I leave? He tells people to ask for the answers in writing. He tells them to save the email. He tells them to read statements line by line. He does not endorse any firm. He gives tools to tell sales from service. At noon, the clinic turns to retirement plans. A benefits specialist holds up a mock enrollment form. He explains default enrollment with opt-out. He explains auto-escalation by 1% each year. He explains target date funds and what the year means. He repeats the rule that the company match is part of pay. He points to the cost of stopping contributions and shows the dollars lost across 10 years. 2 people sigh. He nods. He says that life has seasons. A pause is not a failure. He says to re-enroll when the budget breathes again. He says the earlier money has more time to grow. A small group moves to a side room for entrepreneurship basics. A counselor talks about business accounts. She says to separate business and personal money on day one. She says to track income and cost in a simple ledger. She says to pay estimated taxes on time to avoid penalties that eat thin margins. She writes a simple rule on the whiteboard. If you do not understand a term in a contract, do not sign it. Bring it to the clinic. Ask a lawyer at the free night. Wait until it is clear. All day, the clinic stays concrete. People leave with checklists. Pull the report. Dispute with copies. Set auto pay for the minimum. Add alerts. Call for rate reviews. Start the emergency transfer. Get the match. Attack the highest rate. Ask advisors how they are paid. Read the statements. Put business money in a business account. Write receipts. Pay estimates. Come back next month for a follow-up. The investigative lens widens to the workplace and to institutions. Managers can lower friction in simple ways. They can allow 1 paid hour each quarter for money tasks. People can call a lender or visit a counselor without losing pay. Managers can host a clinic on site with neutral educators. They can schedule it during work hours, so people with care duties can attend. They can set default enrollment for retirement plans if the law and plan allow it. They can fund a small emergency loan program at fair rates to replace predatory options. They can publish clear pay ranges and stick to them. They can require that offers name the band step in plain words. Human resources can add a one-page guide to the onboarding packet. The guide lists the steps from this clinic. It uses clear lines and dates. It avoids jargon. It avoids promises. It tells people what to expect on their first paycheck. It tells them where to see the match. It tells them how to set the benefit contributions. It tells them who to call with questions. Institutions beyond a single company can act too. City libraries can host credit report nights. Community colleges can offer free classes on budgeting and debt. Credit unions can open accounts with second chance rules and modest fees. Courts can publish plain language guides to wage garnishment and how to respond. Regulators can enforce clear disclosures so costs are not buried. Each step is small. Together, they change the shape of a life. The chapter stays source aware without naming private details. It uses the clinic's attendance logs to show steady demand. It uses anonymized case notes to show common patterns. Missed payments cluster in months with school expenses and medical visits. Payday loans appear after car breakdowns and hours cut by a manager. Credit cards fill gaps between paychecks in the week before rent. The data is not a headline. It is a map of pressure points where small tools prevent larger harm. A counselor shows a case from last year. The client started with 3 cards over 20%. The balances were high and rising. The clinic helped set a hardship plan with the 2 largest lenders. Rates dropped for 12 months in exchange for an automatic payment from a new account. The client set auto pay for the minimum on the 3rd card and paid extra on the highest rate. An emergency fund began at $10 per paycheck. It grew slowly. There were no missed payments in that year. The score rose. The client refinanced a car loan at a lower rate. The monthly spend dropped. The emergency fund reached 1 month of expenses after 18 months. The numbers are verified by statements with names removed. The tone of the case file is calm. The story is ordinary. That is the point. Another case shows a founder who took a revenue-based advance. Sales looked steady. Seasonality had not been measured yet. Winter came and sales fell by half. The advance took the same share. The cushion disappeared. The clinic helped the founder renegotiate the term and move to a fixed weekly amount. It was still hard. The kitchen stayed open. The founder learned the cadence of her sales. She built a small cash reserve before signing the next deal. The lesson is not that one product is bad and another is good. The lesson is that fit and timing matter more than labels. In the afternoon, the clinic runs a session for managers. A facilitator speaks to a small circle. She repeats the rule that pay is the first pillar. Tools are the second. She asks managers to list the barriers their teams face. Answers fill the page. Time to call lenders. Fear of shame. Confusing benefit portals. No trust in sales pitches that pose as classes. The facilitator writes a list of fixes. Default enrollment when possible. Short videos that show each click on the benefit site. A calendar invite for a money hour each quarter. An on-site clinic with no sales. A fair emergency loan program. The managers take the list. They commit to test 2 items in the next quarter. The final clinic hour is a build session for individuals. Each person writes a 1-page plan. The counselor calls out each line. Know the pay band and the midpoint before you accept. Ask for midpoint when you are fully qualified. Save the offer email. Keep proof of duties and wins for the next cycle. Ask a manager who can sponsor you. Name the next stretch and the date. Start an auto transfer to your emergency fund. Get the match in your plan. Pay the highest interest first. Check your credit reports each year. Ask any advisor how they get paid. Review all of this once each quarter. Put the date on your calendar. The plan is not a promise. It is a path you can see. It is a set of moves that hold even when the month turns hard. It is a way to turn income into choices. It is not a theory about markets. It is a practice of attention and follow-through. The chapter returns to the connection that runs through the series. The first chapter showed why the starting number matters. The second showed how ladders can correct drift or make it worse. This chapter shows how tools determine whether money leaks or stays put. The 3 parts are linked. A fair start without tools still leaks. Tools without a fair start still strain. Both together build a base where choice can grow. A note on dignity closes the interviews. The counselors never asked people why they had debt. They never asked why a payment was missed. They asked what the facts were and what the next step could be. They kept copies and dates. They taught letters and scripts. They offered a chair and time to think. They gave people a way to try again without shame. This is a form of access that does not make headlines. It changes outcomes anyway. The last pages turn to measurement and accountability. The clinic will track returns the same way a team tracks projects. The metric is not only attendance. It is the change in missed payments across 6 months. It is the share of people who set auto pay for the minimum. It is the share who start an emergency transfer. It is the number who enroll for the match after a pause. It is the number who open a business account and keep receipts. The clinic will publish a short report twice a year. It will show what moved and what did not. It will ask for ideas. It will stay humble about what one room can do. Managers who hosted on-site sessions will publish a one-page note to their teams. They will share the money hour schedule. They will share the emergency loan policy in clear lines. They will share how to confirm retirement contributions on the pay stub. They will state that asking for help will not hurt a career. They will remind people that the clinic is neutral and that no one at the clinic will try to sell them a product. The last scene returns to the whiteboard. The counselor writes three words: pay, ladder, tools. He draws arrows from one to the next. He explains that independence is the ability to say yes and no. He explains that each arrow is a policy you can see. A pay offer with a named band step. A promotion packet with evidence. A set of money habits with dates on a calendar. None of these require luck. All of them require attention. People begin to fold their plans and stand up. The printer slows to silence. The child at the back holds up a drawing of a piggy bank with a smile. The room is ordinary again. The day feels like a hinge. The investigation ends here for now. It leaves behind a path made of small moves that stack. One clean line closes the series. Independence is built when the first dollar is fair, the next ladder is true, and the money tools are honest and within reach.